So you guys can start turning to John 15 this morning. We're finishing up what's ended up being a little series that we've been doing over the last couple of months on our identity. It was somewhere around 2 months ago that God laid on my heart to preach on our identity. And he didn't give me a roadmap at the time of how long that would take us, how long we would be in that subject, but he's releasing me from it this morning, so this will be the last message in the series. And I hope it's been as much of an encouragement to you guys as it has been for me. There's so much on this topic that it really doesn't stop here, though. I hope it's encouraged you to look and find this in the Word yourself as you're reading the Bible in your own time. This morning's identity, though, it's a little bit all throughout the Bible. And there's a lot of familiar verses that we'll be hearing, because today we're going to recognize our beloved identity, that God loves us. You know, we hear that God loves us quite often. You know, you think of the children's song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And, you know, it's so true that God does love us, but sometimes we just hear it and we kind of glance over it, or we just kind of start proceeding as if, okay, yeah, that's the end of it. But there's a lot of depth to his love. You know, God doesn't just have a general love or love for mankind. It goes much further than that. It's a personal love that he has for us. It's an intimate love that God intended for us to live in. We have an identity of being beloved identity. John 15, and starting in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's own life for his friends. The Message version says, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. And then the Passion Translation. I love each of you with the same love that my Father loves. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that your joy that I experience will be fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus wants us to recognize the importance of love. He demonstrated this love constantly while he was here on the earth. He cared deeply for each and every person that he encountered. He loved those who the culture felt were unlovable. He wanted that kind of love to be what remains. You know, some people are turned off by Christians because they think that we serve an angry God, that he's going to punish us for doing all kinds of wrong stuff. But nothing can be further from the truth. He's a loving God that he gives us a way to be reconciled back to him. See, the sin that we had separated us from God. He wanted us to have a way back to him, though. He wanted us to realize that he is a loving God, that he has forgiveness, that he has mercy, grace, and especially love. See, Jesus tells us of this love so that we can have joy as well, overflowing joy, empowering joy, flowing out of that love. Love is an attribute that God shows over and over in the Word. Jesus said it again in John 15:17. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, there's something about when the Bible says stuff over and over that you start thinking, maybe God's trying to get our attention here with this. Maybe he wants us to catch something that he's putting here. Now, I'm going to chase a rabbit this morning, but it's a good rabbit. And I'm throwing a lot of scripture guys at you here early, but I hope you see where I'm going with it. Let's look at Mark 12, starting at verse 29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." See, here Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, pointing to God's plan from the beginning was love. That all of his commands are summed up by love. God shows his love throughout the scripture. Now let's compare Mark 12, to John 13, starting at verse 34. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." See, Jesus referenced that the two commands, that out of these two commands, all the others are referenced. They're all based off of those two commands. But now he's saying he gives us a new commandment. Now, as some of you guys know, there are multiple Greek words for new. So we're going to kind of look at which word's used here. It's the kainos kind of new. It's not the word that means brand new, never done before. It's the word that says that it's a refreshed, remade, the new and improved type of new. The better than before type of new. That's the type of command that he's giving us here. He's making it better than it was before. He's doing something better than the commands of the law. Now he's written the law on our hearts. See, before he was telling us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is the problem. See, sometimes we get bogged down and it's hard to love ourselves. Am I right? See, sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Sometimes we hang on to things of the past and constantly bring it up again in ourselves. Our pasts are behind us, though. Yesterday is behind us. 2 hours ago is behind us. We have a hard time loving ourselves because that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. He tries to condemn us. He tries to tell us that we're not good enough. But you know what the first thing Jesus said when he came here and he started his ministry? Repent. Change your way. Be restored to the kingdom. Jesus has that open door back to him at any moment. Repent. See, loving ourselves can get hard. That's why Jesus tells us that we are beloved. See, he rephrases it here now, saying, "The new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so that you also love one another." See, he recognized that we had lost the concept of loving ourselves. So he reminds us with this phrase over and over, "As I have loved you." See, the standard is no longer us loving ourselves. The standard's now how he loved us. How he loved each and every single person he encountered here on the earth. Sometimes it's kind of an indicator to us. If we're having a hard time loving others, we need to get back to knowing that we are loved by God. That we are his beloved. Knowing that he loves us, that he gave all for us. We need to love others the way Jesus loved us. Because once we realize that Jesus loves us, we can love them with that same type of love. You know, he's telling this to the disciples, and you think, oh yeah, they hung out with Jesus all the time. You know, they surely saw everything as peaches and cream. They would never disrespect Jesus or be looking at things wrong or without love. But does anybody remember the disciples talking amongst themselves of who is the greatest? Or maybe James and John's mom asking to have James and John sit at his right hand and his left. Okay, maybe you've got a strong disciple like Peter who would never deny Jesus, you know? But that's the same love that Jesus loved them anyway. Even despite anything that was going on amongst their differences, Jesus loved them anyway. That agape, non-conditional love. Not just I love you because you love me. It's the you love them because you love them. Even despite anything we've done, he still loves us. And he wants us to take that love to others. I love John 13:35, where he says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, that if you have love for one, that you have love for one another." You notice that he didn't say, "By your knowledge of Scripture, you will be my disciples." You can know your Bible inside and out. You can know Scripture without having love. Guess what? The enemy knows Scripture oftentimes better than we do. He knows the power that's in it. He knows what it says. That's why he's scared of it. That's why he doesn't want you to recognize that you are loved. Jesus didn't tell us that by our miracles and our healings that we would be known as his disciples. Yes, we lay hands on people. Yes, we command the miraculous to be done in his name. But that's not what he said our calling card would be. He said that by his love, people would know that we are identified as Jesus' disciples. That everything else is nothing if we don't have love. You know, Paul reminds us of that in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the love chapter that's often quoted at weddings and that. And I'm paraphrasing this here, but Paul says that it doesn't matter if he speaks in tongues but doesn't have love, if he has the gift of prophecy but doesn't have love, even if he had faith to move a mountain but he doesn't have love. Feed the poor, run himself into the ground doing stuff that God wanted him to do. It all means nothing without love. We should love the people that we are serving. You know, one of the things that the disciple John truly did grasp, though, is God's love. We're going to read this next verse out of 1 John now. But if you read through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, there are so many times that John addresses the reader as beloved. Because that is who you are. So 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Remember, God loved us so much that he sent his only Son. That's the reason that Jesus came, was he came in love. He was sent by the Father in love. He came to show and instill love into each and every one of us, to show the gospel is centered on love. Remember, we were made in God's image. That means that the love of God is truly within us. Our identity is beloved. John, more or less in this couple of verses here, he says that if you personally know God, if you personally have a relationship with God, you will love others. If you're finding it hard to love others, it's time to focus on our relationship with God. Because when you focus on your relationship with him, it's hard not to love others the way he loves them. You know, it's kind of like when you're frustrated with somebody, the best way to combat that is to pray for them. It's so hard to stay frustrated when you're truly praying for their benefit. So if we've lost our joy, if we've lost our ability to love others, that's when we can focus on our relationship with God. Because God is love. So we can remember when we're interacting with others, especially those who don't have a relationship with God, it's all about love. Now, don't get me wrong. God hates whatever sin they're caught up in. But he loves that person. He loves the person inside of that body that's being used by the enemy, that's submitting to whatever sin is going on. So we should love them too. All we can do is introduce them to a loving Jesus and then let Holy Spirit be the one to change them. Because it's no accident when God puts somebody in our path. When he puts the two of us in the same place at the same time, it's for a reason. They can see God's love through us. You know, some of the conversations I've had with my coworkers, they see the church as people who try to tell them what to do and what not to do. And a lot of times, it was their own parents that turned them off from the relationship with Jesus. A lot of times it's because their parents struggled with communicating the love that God had for them, for the reason why his laws were the way they were, what they were telling them specifically to do or not to do. Not telling them that sin is what separates us from God. So when we see that there's somebody struggling, we want to warn somebody of the dangers, but we want to do it in love. Speaking the truth in love, as the Bible says. You guys have heard this before, but the presence of love is not the absence of truth. But it is about knowing how to do it in love. People want to know that you do care for them, that you do love them. After they know the love, they'll be more apt to receive what you are wanting to share with them. We need to remain and operate out of God's love. I want to touch on something in John 15:9. And this is a little bit out of the Amplified version. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you. I really wanted to touch on this. Do not doubt God's love for us. This is exactly one of the tactics the enemy tries to use. Questioning God. Questioning his love. How did the serpent get Eve to eat of the fruit in the garden? He got her to question, did God really say? I'm telling you, the enemy is not very bright. He still uses the same tactics today. We can be assured of our identity in God's love. As Ephesians 3:17 reminds us, that we're rooted and grounded in love. When we know where our roots go, it gives us confidence that that is where we are planted. I just realized the song we sang here right before the message, Yes and Amen, our promises, or our confidence is in his promises. I just realized that. But it's so fitting for this message. Our confidence is knowing that we're rooted and grounded in love. One of the great promises he has is that we have love. One of the other ways the enemy tries to fight our love is with fear. But there's some great promises in Scripture that God tells us about fear and love. 2 Timothy 1:7, if you guys are taking notes to look it up later, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then also 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Don't let fear try to push your love around. God's love is far more powerful than the fear that the enemy will try to throw at you. In fact, we can fight the fear with love. So you might be thinking, okay, so how do we apply this love we might have? Let's look at Romans 13, starting in verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Again, here we see the old and the new. The list of the commandments, the rules that they were trying to follow, basically boils down to having love in your heart. Because when you concentrate on love, all the rest flows out of you. Your love for God and others will be seen in your actions. When someone gets a promotion, be happy for them. When they have a need, help them in the way that God's shown you to meet their need. If you guys haven't been able to tell lately, the Passion Translation, I've been growing to like the way that they put things. A lot of times I'll read it alongside of New King James when I'm reading it, but some of it puts a new perspective on some of the passages. Just gets you to look at it a little bit different than you've heard it before. And we've already talked about 1 Corinthians 13 a little, but listen to these verses out of it. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selflessly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Long and short, with love, we don't focus on ourselves. We focus on others. We love them the way that God loves us. Jesus came in love. We'll close with a scripture. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons. That's actually where we started this whole series at, is being adopted into the family of God. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are holy and blameless before God in love. Our redemption to God is because of his love. God is preparing us like he's never prepared us before, to do what he's never done before. We're accepted into our beloved identity through Jesus. We're called to operate in love, loving one another more than just how we love ourselves, but loving others the way Jesus showed us to love. The Apostle John, you know, he referred to himself throughout the gospel as the disciple that Jesus loved. It's not that Jesus loved him more than the rest. It's just that John had a true revelation of how much Jesus loved him. Guess what? We can have that same revelation. Because God loves us so much. We are beloved. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for this revelation of your love, God. Lord, help us recognize how you've loved us, Lord. Lord, we recognize that as the new standard, Lord. We recognize that as the true standard, God, for what we set as our bar. Lord, help us not fall short of that goal, Lord. Help us not fall short of what we think that we need to do, God. Lord, stir in our hearts, giving us a love for those around us. Lord, help us recognize your love for those that the world sees as unlovable, God. Lord, help us recognize and operate out of your love. Lord, let your love empower us in this time. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for what you are continuing to do. Help us see it through your eyes, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.